On Air Music presents Long Player.
Auckland-based synth-pop duo Femo recently released their five-song debut EP, True Love Fades. Femo is made up of Mo Zass, who is currently based in Australia, along with BFM's Amelia Berry. Earlier in the week, Amelia and me went into the studio and called Mo up on the Skype to chat about how the EP came together.
We can see you, but
you put lipstick on for us and everything.
Mm-hmm.
How's Australia treating you?
Just good. So I'm back at uni today. Mm-hmm. I'm currently sitting. I found an empty classroom. Like, it's just completely empty.
And reasonably good acoustics. Good work, good work. Hey, congrats you guys on the new EP.
Thank you.
True Love Fades.
Thank you so much.
I find the name very funny, personally.
Why? But,
it's just like, it's one of those things that kind of makes sense and then doesn't make sense and then makes sense again if you think about it too much.
I feel like it ties together the theme of the songs.
Yeah.
I think it does too. But you definitely said, like, I want it to have a funny joke. intense sort of name, you know, like how 80s albums always have really intense names that are sort of like evoking a lot of, I don't know, full on emotions or whatever. And I was just like, sure, whatever you call it, whatever you want.
So I've got to fess up, you know, emotional 80s synth pop is not my wheelhouse. It's not something I'm really well versed in. So you guys might have to hold my hand a little bit here. But what made you kind of want to come together to create the sound or the style of music that you did?
Essentially, the project started because, I mean, this is kind of my niche. Mm-hmm. I guess this is like a kind of music that I've always really wanted to make. And then, I don't know, me and Mo have known each other for a very long time. My old band broke up and I was hanging out with Mo in the kitchen and I was like, well, maybe we should make some music together. And it kind of grew from there. We hung out, we made a mood board.
I love it. What was on the mood board?
It had Robin, it had Janelle Monáe. It was not a lot of stuff from the 80s. I think, and...
Madonna, lots of Madonna.
Okay, yeah, there was lots of Madonna. I don't know. I think if you actually go through, like, synth pop of the 80s, you won't find a lot of stuff that actually sounds like Femo.
Yeah.
It's more like... I don't know. I think of it as more like kind of contemporary pop forms filtered through that kind of like instrumentation and those kinds of textures. So like uses a lot of like Lindrum samples and like old analog synths, but it's not very 80s in the kind of like the emotions it articulates and like the song structures and the melodies and things. Yeah.
Let's jump into the songs. The first one is Falling For You, which starts with a bit of rainy kind of atmos.
I think that was recorded at Browns Bay, if I remember correctly. It's real North Shore atmosphere.
Tell me a little bit about this track and how it came together and what you were really wanting to portray with it.
This was the first song that we recorded. So in terms of the songs and how they sort of came about, yes, we had that conversation in the kitchen, then the mood board, then our first band practice, which is actually just us sitting on the floor and talking about the revolution and being queer, which was like 2 hours of that in the BFM studios. And then we finally sort of tried to figure out what the song might sound like, what the songs might sound like. So Amelia wrote the songs and sent me demos of them. Mm-hmm. I learned them so that I'd be able to sing them it was interesting. We were like recording the EP while sort of working out what the songs would sound like. Would you say that's right, Amelia?
Yeah, totally. I think, I mean, because I wrote this one, I guess not really with heaps of an idea of how it would sound. Like all of the earliest demos of it, me by myself and then me and Mo, me on an old Casio MT-65 for the Casio nerds out there, just kind of like playing the chords with a little drum pitch going. And it wasn't until like the way that we worked on arranging the songs is that I just had like a very basic drum pattern and just the chords playing, and then we would record Mo singing, mm-hmm. and the arrangement kind of grew out of that. So starting with the drums and the bass, kind of trying to match what Mo brought to the song. Mm. Yeah, and so it was a really interesting way to work. It's not what you would do if you had like a full band setting.
No,
it was very much like starting with the vocal and then kind of building everything out from the like the vocal inflections.
In terms of penning the lyrics, was that a joint effort or was that you, Amelia? Or
that was just me in my bedroom.
the lyrics come fully formed with Amelia, pretty much.
Is that strange for you, Mo, then like bringing your, singing them and sort of bringing your emotions to them?
I think that not strange. Actually, I really loved it and I really welcomed it. And I think that, like Amelia said, we've known each other for a really long time. So I think that there was a huge amount of trust in the room before we even started working together, which was mm-hmm. super cool because it meant that, like, she was giving me these songs that were, quite personal and had a lot going on in them that were significant and personal to her experiences, but she was giving them to me and going like, do whatever you want with them. Like, you sing them how you feel like they should be sung. And then I think what's come out of it is quite special because it means that like her words have my take on them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that like there's a big performance aspect to these songs. Like they're really narrative. They've got lots of story going on. So I really enjoyed being able to sort of take them away, take the demos away, learn the story of the songs, and then come back and be like, well, this is what I think. This is how I think the song, what it's saying to me. Mm-hmm. So that was a really cool conversation to have while we were recording.
Tonight, I think I'm falling for you.
nightmarish experience in recording this song in particular, which I will mention Amelia, is like we were trying to figure out harmonies for this song.
Oh no. And the keyboard.
It was like our first time recording it or going through it or something. And Amelia was just like, look, we'll get out the keyboard and we'll write some harmonies on the keyboard. And I was just like, no. Just let me do it.
The keyboard ended up being somewhat of a threat. Like, get harmony for this or we're bringing out the keyboard. Yeah.
They're not conventionally written songs. They don't easily lend themselves to being, to writing a straightforward harmony or, you know, a straightforward sort of backing vocal line or like improvisational line to them. So they took quite a bit of work in trying to figure out how to best serve them, I guess.
Let's go to the next track, which is Natural Feeling. Can you tell me a little bit about this one?
So these first two tracks were written before the band actually like properly started, and they were just kind of sitting around. So this, yeah, I don't know. I feel like as far as Fimo is like involved in the gay agenda, this track is probably the most straightforward.
What else can we say about it? I mean, this was the second song we recorded. It felt a million times easier. It felt like we really knew what we were doing.
Were you working from a distance the whole time between Australia and New Zealand?
No. I moved after we recorded everything. After I recorded everything that I needed to do. Amelia did a lot more work after I left. But we were working pretty closely. So we were working at least once a week in the BFM studios, working, recording, and pretty much spending every waking moment that we weren't working or doing other stuff together and talking about our project, which probably annoyed all of our friends. Whatever.
This is real. I just can't forget how it feels. Stuck on these things. Be happy if I just forget.
have to ask where the name Femo came from, because to me, as a child of the 80s and 90s, like, Femo is the stuff that you, it's like motherly
play. Yeah, it's like plasticine stuff. Yeah. I remember seeing it as a word and thinking it was, like, both appropriately cute, and then also the word kind of divorced from the modeling clay is quite evocative. It also sounds pretty emo that. And, yeah.
Yeah. I think we were playing around with a lot of, like, kind of conceptual names. We sort of had, like, some sort of, I don't know, we had a bunch of names. None of them were really working. And then it was one of those things that sort of fell out of the sky, and we were like, oh, yeah, that's it. That's the one. But then it got kind of, not annoying, but a little bit weird for me, because, like, obviously I had a name change around the same time. Mm. And like, I ended up changing my name to a name that's in the band name. And then I was like, does that sound, you right. know, a bit sort of self-important, self-obsessed?
The next track is Sugar Soap. This is coming back to what you were saying about the narrative quality. I feel like this is one of the most narrative songs, with the little, yeah, like, details and the picture that you're painting and everything in this. I really like that drinking wine and watching telly and stuff like that.
Well, this one was, I don't know, a lot of the time when I write a song, it'll be kind of like a lot of different experiences and emotions kind of condensed. And this was not really. It was like some things that had happened to me in the past, like, week or two. It was during a time when I was like, I was moving flat. And so I cleaned the whole of my, like, this house with sugar soap, and then was walking to my other flat, very exhausted, and kind of, like, came up with this line, and then came home and hammered it out on the MT-65. But it was a very bad song until Mo got their hands on it. I showed it to a couple of people being like, I've just written the best song I've ever written. And they were like, okay.
Mo, what's your take?
I don't think it was bad at all, but it was very much a sketch. It was very much a sketch, and it had all those beautiful things that the song still has, because it, you know, it hasn't moved that far away. But I guess what I would say in terms of it's like the differences between it when it was first written, Amelia, and it now, is that, like, it's transcended into this, it's kind of a big anthem now, whereas when you wrote it, it was kind of this little sketch that we weren't really sure what it was going to be either. Like, all of those things that it has now, like the big choral backing vocals and all of that stuff, they weren't there, you know, that wasn't an idea that was there at the beginning.
Yeah, the key change really... The key change really brought a lot of stuff to it.
That's my theater nerd background coming in there.
Like, oh.
I like the, of course, the Libra Gemini line, you know, because I'm a Gemini and self-obsessed as well. I'm like, ooh, they say my star sign.
That is also my star sign. And they're traditionally a good match, you know, air signs.
Yes. I would like to publicly state that I am neither a Libra nor a Gemini, and it's very confusing to people I know, but this is Amelia's stuff, not mine.
Yeah, we'll put that out there.
I'm a Cancer, and I'm very proud of that.
We talked about changing the star sign at one point, I believe.
You Love Me is a really cool track. There's a lot of, it sounds like you had a lot of fun making the instrumentation in this track. There's a lot of playing with like the space and different sounds. I think there's like a phone ringing at some point.
Yeah. The phone ringing was particularly a weird one. I think
it's only for a second or two as well. It sort of just pops up, I think.
Yeah, well, so some of the songs, the arrangements really just like came together very quickly. This one didn't. when we came to play that, because we played live recently, and deconstruct, because you know, live you can't, all of the instruments on the record, it's mm-hmm. stupid.
You like 20 people.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were like a three-piece band trying to play them, and it was especially this one, it went through so many kind of like weird layers of rewrites that kind of, it was like archaeology trying to sift through the layers to find the basic keyboard part to play rather than
it's funny.
Right.
It's funny, Danielle, that you brought up the phone ringing, because I think that's what Amelia missed the most in trying to play it live. And she would vocalize the phone ring in band practice, which was very distracting.
Yeah, there's also like a whistle at the start.
We tried to do the whistle. The whistle was harder than it looked.
But the phone ringing was actually the last thing that got added to the track, and it was I sent Mom a message being like, I've cracked it, it's sus. I'm sorry, I keep sending you worried messages and asking for notes, it's done. And it was just the last one that I'd sent them, but with the addition of this phone ringing, which was sampled from like, it was sampled from the trailer for a queer like art porn film, which someone had just linked it on Facebook, and I was like, what the hell is this? And then this phone rings, and I was like, that's a nice sound.
Hello.
Not with me, I can
The very last track you close out with is Talking Now. I love this song. I think it might be my favorite. And it's also very popular. Of course, it's on the BFM top 10 as well. Which is that slightly awkward? Let's address that. Because, you know, you're here. You host the top 10. Oh, is that always kind of weird for you?
It is. It is very weird. I mostly pretend that I don't make music on the top 10.
Yeah,
because
I think... Sorry, yeah. I've outed you. And...
It's okay. She's been outed before.
I think
Amelia has this running gag where she'll pretend that she doesn't know how to pronounce the names of her various projects. So she'll say
Fimo.
Fimo. Fimo.
The last time we were on the top 10, it just came out wrong and I was like, "Oh, I guess I can't stop this now." But the top 10 takes a lot of time to count all of the votes and stuff. And people still always think, they're always like, oh, it's rigged though, isn't it? And it's like, no, it's not. But also, when my songs are on there, it really does give that impression. And it's very, every time I'll be like counting the votes and I'm like, oh, there's another text vote. Oh, no. There we go. We're in number 3. Okay, fine.
We're clearing up a lot of stuff, though. You know, Mo is neither a Libra or a Gemini, and the top 10 is not rigged.
It's definitely not rigged.
It's not rigged. I've seen Amelia do the counting. She's very deliberate. She values democracy, everyone. Like,
yeah, I would concur with that.
Yeah.
Tell me about this track. I get some, like... I want to say this in a way that won't be offensive. I always worry about this sort of thing. I get really strong Stevie Nicks vibes from this song, which
that's a compliment.
Okay,
I
good,
love
good.
That.
Huge compliment.
Great. Good.
There was a few different kind of things went into this song. Basically, Mo said, "We need a breakup song for the EP. Please write one." Gave me some notes and I kind of sat down and wrote this. And looking back on it now, I'm feeling a little bit like I wrote it about what it would be like to break up with me maybe 5 years ago when I was a lot less together. What do you think about that, Mo? I don't know if we've discussed that.
We have. So, I mean, we talked about sort of, you know, I guess the things that it's okay to put in a breakup song, the things that maybe you shouldn't put in a breakup song. And then Amelia sort of did say to me quite early on, I think, you know, this is sort of more about the perspective of somebody talking to me after they've split up with me, you know, like, and I was like, okay. I don't know. This song is very personal to perform. I felt very vulnerable when we recorded it, which I think is sort of why we did it and why we talked about having a breakup song, like having a big ballady song on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And Amelia sort of it was written really quickly. That's one thing. It's like it came together really, really fast. And also Amelia sort of said, like, you know, like, this is for you. Like, I've written this because it's kind of a gift, which I just was sort of like blown away by. It's like, this is, you know, amazing. And I don't know. I'm really proud of it. I think that what we did with it is really special. And I think we can see that in the way that people are connecting with it. And it's Rowan who mastered the EP, Rowan from Arcade Records. It's his favorite song on the EP. And I just think that it's got a lot in it, and when that solo hits, it's like, mwah, chef kiss, baby.
Glad you articulated the chef kiss, since people won't be able to see that. It was a vision.
Thank you.
check my keys, miss a beat, and remember how to breathe through that hole in my head. What are you still doing there? I don't know if I was right. All I know is that I feel better. I think that it takes some time. One day we just won't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I just really love this song. It's one of my favorite things I've ever done. And just the harmonies in the chorus were really, because this was the last track that we recorded. Like, it was like the night before Mo moved to Melbourne or something ridiculous like that. And we had to write this harmony in like before like the last bus. And I was just like, it needs to sound like Tammy Wynette, and just played a bunch of Tammy Wynette songs, and Mo went, okay, and then did it, and it was amazing. It's kind of a miracle that this song is as good as it was.
It was a very emotional race against time to get this song tracked and recorded. But I'm glad that you're as proud of it as I am, Amelia.
Yeah,
I think we've talked about it really before.
I cried in the second verse when we did it live.
That was Mo Zass and Amelia Berry from Femo talking about their new EP, True Love Fades. You can pick it up on Bandcamp, where you can also get it on cassette.
That was Longplayer. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.